So grateful for how God is working in our lives, in our hearts during this Christmas time. Christmas is an interesting time. It really makes us reflect on some things. And today I want us to reflect on some of the things that we might be waiting for. Some things we might be waiting for. As we celebrate the first coming of Jesus Christ, we are also waiting for his second coming, aren't we? We're waiting for that glorious day when he parts the sky, when he gathers all of his saints together, and he comes to this earth, renews it, and reigns forevermore. We're looking forward to that day. We're looking forward to that time. And waiting is part of that process, isn't it? Waiting for someone like Jesus to come into our realm and to help us in a supernatural, miraculous way and transform this world from what it is right now to what he ultimately wants it to be. So looking forward to that day. But in the process, we have to wait. Jesus makes it clear in this passage that those who wait on him will receive blessings from him. We like the idea of receiving blessings from the Lord, don't we? We love the idea of receiving blessings from the Lord. The problem is waiting for those blessings. That's the problem. The problem is us waiting for those blessings to come. When our man, Don Young, tells a story of his eldest daughter, when our oldest daughter was old enough to understand what saving money was all about, my wife and I sat down with her and explained the value of money. We explained how to save. And when the piggy bank is full, you take the money out and deposit it in the bank so you can draw interest. She seemed to understand and couldn't wait to open a savings account at the bank. I called the banker in our little town and told him our daughter was on the way to open her savings account. We would stop in later and sign the necessary papers. What a thrill! The president of the bank waited on her. She handed over her savings and gave her and the banker gave a receipt and thanked her for her business. But she wouldn't leave. She just stood there like something was wrong and she was waiting for something. "Is there anything I can help you with?" the president asked. "Yes, I want my interest." Of course, that's how we all want our interest, right? That's how we all want our interest. But what are we going to do? We've got to wait, don't we? We've got to wait. That's part of life. You know, God has designed this life in a way where we have to wait for some things. And you know what? We're all waiting for something, aren't we? We are all waiting for something. Some are waiting on God to reveal himself to them. This may be you today. This may be God revealing himself to you today through his word and through his Holy Spirit. Some may be waiting on God to give them a spouse. They are waiting for God to reveal who he is going to put them together with for life. Some are waiting on God to give them a baby. Some are waiting on God to give them direction for a career. Some are waiting on God to show them a ministry. Some are waiting on God to relieve them of the hurt in their heart. Some are waiting on God to help them mend a broken relationship. Some are waiting on God to provide for a need. Some are waiting on God for them to be healed. Some are waiting on God to provide relief from a difficult problem. Some are waiting on God to take them to heaven. So as we think about our relationship with the Lord, we understand that waiting on God is part of it. Waiting on God is part of our walk with Him. Waiting for us is not easy, especially in the culture we live in today. We get upset if there are more than two people at the line in Walmart. Or is that just me? Am I the only one that gets upset when there's more than two people in the line at Walmart? It's just me? Okay. I think we all get impatient at times. We want everything to be done quickly, and we don't like waiting. But part of being in a relationship with God is waiting. So since waiting on God is part of our relationship with Him, how should we wait on God? How should we wait on Him? I want us to take a look at this passage and see how we should wait on God. Look at verse 35. Verse 35 in chapter 12 of Luke. It says, and this is Jesus speaking, He says, "Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning. And you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, there they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you, that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them." These verses make it clear that we should anticipate or expect that Jesus is going to fulfill his promises to us. We must wait on God with anticipation, trusting that he's going to fulfill his promises to us. His plan cannot be foiled. God has a plan for your life. He has made promises to you, and those plans and promises will not be foiled. We know that he is going to accomplish his will in our lives as we trust in him. So let's trust him. Let's anticipate that he is going to fulfill his promises to us. Turn your Bibles to Galatians chapter 4 for a moment. Galatians chapter 4, in verse 4. This speaks to the first coming of Christ. Galatians 4:4 says this, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law." I want you to notice that phrase, fullness of time. That phrase tells us something about how God operates, how he operates in our lives. When the time is just right, then God fulfills his promises to us. When that time is just right, God fulfills his promises to us. And it had to be a fullness of time. So there was this length of time that had to come in order for God's promises to be fulfilled. It's that way in your life as well. God's made a lot of promises to you as a Christian, but they're not all going to come. He's not going to dump them all on you in one day. It's going to be a process where it takes time for him to fulfill each and every one of those promises to you. And his faithfulness will be shown as he does. And his perfect way of demonstrating his fulfillment of those promises will also be shown, because they will come and be fulfilled at just the right time. But that's going to require waiting, isn't it? That's going to require us waiting. but waiting in anticipation of what he is going to do. When you anticipate that Jesus will do what he has promised, you will be ready when it comes. You'll be ready when it comes. How many times do we pray? And we're praying and we really in the back of our minds are thinking, well, this ain't happening. And then when it actually happens, we're like, whoa, he answered that prayer. Whoa. That's not the way the Lord wants us to pray. And that's not the way he wants us to live. He wants us to live in anticipation that he's going to fulfill his promises. Did he say he would answer our prayers? Yes. All right, let's pray like he's going to answer our prayers. And let's live like he's going to answer our prayers and fulfill his promises in our lives. Let's anticipate that he's going to do what he has said he would do for us. Gary Preston tells a story in his book, Character Forged from Conflict, that illustrates how we are to wait. He writes, back when the telegraph was the fastest means of long-distance communication, there was a story, perhaps apocryphal, about a young man who applied for a job as a Morse code operator. Answering an ad in the newspaper, he went to the address that was listed. When he arrived, he entered a large, noisy office. In the background, a telegraph clacked away. A sign on the reception's counter instructed job applicants to fill out a form and wait until they were summoned to enter the inner office. The young man completed his form and sat down with seven other waiting applicants. After a few minutes, the young man stood up, crossed the room to the door of the inner office, and walked right in. Naturally, the other applicants perked up, wondering what was going on. Why had this man been so bold? They muttered among themselves that they hadn't heard any summons yet. They took more than a little satisfaction in assuming that the young man who went into the office would be reprimanded for his presumption and summarily disqualified for the job. Within a few minutes, the young man emerged from the inner office, escorted by the interviewer, who announced to the other applicants, "Gentlemen, thank you very much for coming, but the job has been filled by this young man." The other applicants began to grumble with each other, and then one spoke up. "Wait a minute, I don't understand. He was the last one to come in, and we never even got a chance to be interviewed. Yet he got the job. That's not fair." The employer responded, "All the time you've been sitting here, a telegraph has been ticking out the following message in Morse code. If you understand this message, come right in. The job is yours." None of them heard it or understood it. This young man did, so the job is his. The young man got the job because he was not just waiting. All the other men were waiting, but he was waiting expectantly. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to wait in anticipation of his promises being fulfilled in our lives. That's how we trust God. Waiting on God is trusting in God. Isaiah said, "Those who wait upon the Lord will mount up with wings like eagles," right? They will be strengthened. Why? Because they're trusting in God, not themselves. They're trusting that God will give them what they need to live for him, and God will fulfill his promises in their lives. But it takes waiting, and that waiting takes patience. If you don't trust Jesus to fulfill his promises to you, then are you ready to receive them? If you don't trust Jesus to fulfill his promises to you, are you really ready to receive them? Are you living in such a way that you are anticipating Jesus fulfilling his promises to you? Don't miss out on his blessings by not looking for them to come. You know, one of the things that I love doing is rowing down a river and jump shooting for ducks. And what that means is you row down this windy river and you quietly row. And as you turn the corner, you wait for the ducks to jump up and then you shoot. And it's a wonderful time. I love doing it. I took my daughter Sarah for the first time this year, and it was fun to watch her try and do this. The ducks were in no harm whatsoever. They were in no danger whatsoever. We rode down, and I told her, I said, "Now listen, here's how it's going to go. You got to be ready, because these things, when you turn the corner, they're jumping out. I mean, and as soon as you think that they're not going to be there, that's when they jump out. That's when they jump out." So we just rounded the first corner of the river. And I say, "There it is." She's like, "Boom, the duck's over here. Boom." She shoots in the air. Boom. I'm like, "What are you doing? What are you doing? You're not even in the same universe here." So I told her, I said, "Now, see, you got to anticipate that the duck is going to come out, or else you're not going to get it." And that's part of it. How many times have I seen Billy or Sarah put the gun down? They think, "Oh, nothing's happening. There they go. There go the ducks. They fly out when you think it's not going to happen." That's just the way it is. And, you know, it's kind of that way with our lives. God wants us to anticipate that he is going to send the blessings, that he is going to fulfill his promises. And we ought to be ready for those promises. We ought to anticipate them. Just when you don't expect to see the blessings, that's when they may come. So let's remember that. Okay, the second thing I want to point out is in verse 38. Verse 38, back in Luke chapter 12 and verse 38. It says, "And if he should come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants." I think we must wait on God with patience. I think we must wait on God with patience. Notice Jesus emphasizes that no matter how long, even the second or third watch, we should expect him to fulfill his promises. No matter how long. But this will take patience. Waiting patiently on God is extremely difficult, mostly because he does not operate in our timetable. God doesn't operate in our timetable, does he? There's so many illustrations that I could give you of this. We, in the process of starting this church and building and everything like that, I've had what I would like to see happen when I want it to happen, and then see God say, "No, that's not when it's going to happen. I'll let you know when it's going to happen." When we were filing for the permits for the building here, I thought it would only take a little while. Oh boy, did I not understand what was about to happen. God had a different plan, and it took a lot longer than I expected. But you know what? I had to trust that the Lord would do what he was going to do in his time. And that's what we need to understand. His time frame is different than our time frame. 2 Peter 3:8 and 9 tells us this. "One day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. Boy, that really shows the difference between his time schedule and our time schedule, right? There's this big gap between how God looks at time and how we look at time. And we look at it like, "Whoa, it's got to happen, got to happen." But God says, well, wait a minute. I got a different time schedule than you have. And we got to keep that in mind. He has a different time schedule for a reason, though. Do you realize that God wants to develop some fruit in you? Have you ever seen a tree that instantly grows up and produces fruit instantly? I mean, like 2 or 3 days, it's got fruit on it. Of course not. It takes time to produce fruit on a tree. We planted some apple trees in our yard years ago. My mom and dad did. And it took a good 5 years before we even saw one apple from those trees. It takes time to produce fruit, doesn't it? Well, there's a fruit of the Spirit that God wants to produce in each and every one of us. And that fruit is patience. One of the fruits of the Spirit is patience. And I know that's a toughie. I understand. But there's a reason for God waiting and having a different time schedule than us. It's so that fruit of patience will be produced in us. But that fruit takes time, doesn't it? It takes time to produce that fruit. And we must understand it. The very hope we have in Jesus Christ requires patience. Understand that. The very hope we have in Jesus Christ requires patience. Romans chapter 8 demonstrates this for us. Romans chapter 8 and verse 24 says this. For we were saved in this hope, but the hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly, there it is again, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. You see that? If we don't have to wait, where's the hope? If we don't have to wait, where is the hope? Where is the trust? Where is the faith in God? It's not there. It's because we have to wait that we have the hope. And we're trusting in Christ. And he's going to give us what we need to accomplish what he wants to do in our lives. That's what the Christian life is involved with. That's what we have. And I hope we'll understand that. I hope we'll see that waiting develops our trust in Christ. It develops a fruit called patience in our lives. And it is used to help us have a wonderful relationship with God. That's what we learn here. Remember Abraham and Sarah? Remember Abraham and Sarah? They were promised a son. They were promised a son. But as the years went on, they got tired of waiting, didn't they? And so they employed Hagar to help them fulfill God's promise to them. Big mistake, obviously. They should have kept on waiting on God. They should have waited for that hope that was about, that they should have waited for that promise. They should have kept their hope in God and the promise that he had made to them. That's what God wants for us. He wants us to develop a mindset that keeps our trust and hope on him, regardless of how long it takes us to see him fulfill his promise. That's how God wants us to be. There was a man running track, Gordon McDonald, writes about an experience in high school. He says, running track in my prep school days taught me a valuable lesson. I was at the Pennsylvania Relays, a famous Eastern track meet, and our relay team was going to run in the championship race. I was the leadoff man, and in the second lane, the man in the first lane held the 100-meter dash record for prep school runners. He also held a record for arrogance. When I got to the line and we were putting our starting blocks down, he said, "May the best man win. I'll be waiting for you at the finish line." We went into the blocks. The gun sounded. He took off, and the other seven of us settled in behind him. We went around the first turn and down the backstretch. About 180 meters into the race, I suddenly saw the record holder in front of me, holding his side, bent over and groaning as he jogged along. We all passed him like he was standing still. Because I'm a gentleman, I waited for him at the finish line. At the end of the race, my coach took me aside. "I hope you've learned a lesson today. It makes little difference whether you hold a record for the 100-meter dash if the race is 400 meters long." There's something to be said there. Our life is not a 100-meter dash. It's not. It's a marathon. Our life is a marathon. And God wants us to be patient. We don't need to be running as fast as we can, thinking that, oh, we're going to get the promises right now that God has for us. We need to be patiently plodding along, going along, and waiting on God. And that kind of leads into my final point. God wants us to be faithful as we wait on him. God wants us to be faithful as we wait on him. As if we were to read verses 39 through 40 or 43, we would see something. We would see that Jesus makes it clear that the faithful servant will be the one who receives the blessings from him. The faithful servant will be the one who receives the blessings from him. You waiting on God should not only develop patience, but it should also develop faithfulness. Waiting on God is a formula for the Christian to grow spiritually. And so when you wait on God faithfully, you are the one who will receive his blessings. That's what the Lord says here. He makes it real clear. He not only makes it clear here, he makes it clear in other passages. When he talks about that day when we'll stand before him or kneel before him in judgment, what is it that he will say to those who have been faithful? "Thou good and faithful servant, enter the rest." Right? That's one of the things he's going to say to us. Faithful. That's what he's been waiting for. That's what he is waiting to give us, is this commendation of faithfulness. A commendation of faithfulness. Well, you know what that says to me? We need to be faithful. As we wait on God, we need to be faithful. Faithful in a little bit. That's what he says. There's not a lot that God requires from us. He wants us to be faithful in a few things. Those few things: praying to him, praying to the Lord, being faithful to the local church, being faithful to read your Bible, being faithful to love others. Those are simple things. It's not complicated. But these are the things that if we are faithful in these things, we will hear those wonderful words come out of our Savior's mouth: "Thou good and faithful servant." That's what I want to hear. I know you want to hear those words too. Let's be faithful as we wait on God. Let's be faithful to him. Let's be patient as we wait on God. Because waiting on God is something that is designed for our good, and God's glory. And as we wait on God, He will fulfill His promises to us. Let's remember that. I got one more illustration I want to show to you. I want to give to you. The Flying Rudellas were trapeze artists. Said that there is a special relationship between the flyer and the catcher on a trapeze. The flyer is the one who lets go, and the catcher is the one who catches. As the flyer swings high above the crowd on the trapeze, the moment comes when he has to let go. He arcs out into the air. His job is to remain as still as possible and wait for the strong hands of the catcher to pluck him from the air. The flyer must never try to catch the catcher, but must wait in absolute trust. The catcher will catch him, but he must wait. That's what we need to do. We need to be that flyer. We need to just let God catch us. We need to trust that God is going to do what He promised He would do. Not trying on our own to do it, but just trusting that He will. But we're going to have to wait. Can you imagine the seconds, this just short seconds, that flyer is out there in midair having to wait? It must feel like an hour, right? Sometimes that's how it is with us, right? We are so desperate to see God intervene in something in our lives that it seems like a minute is an hour is a day is a year. But I want you to understand, if you wait on God, He's going to catch you. He's going to catch you.